Do you like to have excitement in your relationships? Or if you're currently single, are you looking for excitement in a relationship? Today, we're talking about excitement. What is excitement? How do you find it? And how important is this in your relationship? If you'd like to find out more about how to improve your relationships, head over to therelationshipmaze.com. And for more about this podcast, head over to therelationshipmazepodcast.com and press subscribe right now. Welcome to today's podcast episode. And today, I'm excited to be talking about excitement.
It's okay. So what is excitement? What do you experience when you are excited?
Well, if we look at a dictionary definition, first of all, of excitement. Excitement's like a feeling of great enthusiasm and eagerness. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean? It's like, you know, with excitement, what is excitement to you?
Well, I was just thinking about it because I just literally had half an hour ago a moment of excitement because I had a text message from someone who wants to buy one of my paintings. And I think that's always a moment when I get excited because it feels quite special. I get excited at the idea that somebody is going to have, willing to buy my work, to love the work. I'm excited at the idea of handing it over and seeing the look on their face when they look at the painting, you know, because often that's very rewarding for me. And just exciting because it feels like a reward to me, I suppose.
Yeah, and where do you feel that feeling in your body?
I noticed that my heart rate was slightly increased. I noticed that I had sort of slightly flushed face. I noticed that I felt a bit more energized, whereas before I was a bit sluggish. I felt a bit more energized. I had a spring in my step for a little while. And I also noticed, of course, all the positive thoughts that come with excitement.
Yeah, and so it's a physical feeling, but also there's something that goes on inside of our heads as well sometimes with that. So it's like we can, you know, for example, going away on a holiday. Mm. It's like the idea of going away on holiday excites me. So I'm thinking about, yes, I can get away to this place. I can see some lovely things. I can do some fun things. Mm. So in my mind, I'm kind of picturing something that I could anticipate and have that excitement. Mm. So, because we talked about expectations in another podcast, and maybe in some ways with excitement, you know, first of all, I would say that with all emotions, they come from within us, that ultimately we are 100% responsible for our emotions, that you can't make somebody else feel excited.
No.
You can't make somebody else feel bored. I mean, that's always what I find funny when my son says, or somebody says, well, I'm bored. And my question is, how are you boring yourself?
How do you make yourself bored?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the same is true of excitement. What can you make? I mean, well, actually, is it? Can you make yourself excited?
Yeah, I think that, and I think you can. And for me, that excitement comes from being able to just relive certain things that maybe are new, that sort of state. It's like when you meet somebody for the first time, that initial honeymoon period, there's that sense of excitement, like I'm going to see this person, I'm going to feel happy. Mm. It's that sort of feeling of that buzz, that energy, and kind of that anticipation.
Yeah, there's something there also about novelty, isn't it? It sort of sometimes overlaps with the idea of novelty and discovery and the unknown. Because the excitement often in the early stages of the relationship is driven by this idea of getting to know someone, being surprised maybe. Maybe that's an element of excitement as well. Not quite knowing what's coming your way.
Well, I think that can be part of it. But I think it's that sense of feeling good, because when you see somebody you like, you feel good. Mm. They may say things, they may do things, they may touch you in a way that makes you feel good. And in a way, we also get conditioned to that feeling. So for a while, it's like you've been out on a couple of dates, you know, someone says something nice to you, they say nice things, you're doing fun things. Mm. That feeling kind of good and excited gets kind of almost associated to being with them.
Yeah.
So when you think about them, that feeling comes back. So it's like even in a behavioural way, we get associated feelings of that good feeling.
That's a good point. So So you kind of, if you want to be excited, then it might be helpful to recall a memory, an earlier memory of a moment that was really that you associate with being feeling really good.
Yeah, and I think that's the next thing I was going to come on to as well. Mm. So it's, you know, over time in a relationship, you know, initially you get that buzz, that feeling gets triggered off because you associate those good things. But over time you do maybe do less fun things or maybe say less things to the partner. Mm. Or you become used to hearing them. And for some people, that then that response starts to fade a bit. Unless you can find a way of tapping back into it. So it's like, you know, when I come to, when I see you, if I've been somewhere else and I come to see you, I'll feel excited. I feel a sense of excitement. And I think for me, it's sort of tapping into as well that feeling that we even had from the beginning, where you kind of have that good feeling, that feeling of, yes, it's nice to be with that person. It's somebody that, you know, I feel good with. And so kind of picturing that person, kind of remembering some of those feelings of excitement and bring those feelings back to you. So, and this is the thing, just for anybody listening, I think, is that if you want to tune into a feeling, you can do that fairly quickly. And what you do is you think of a time when you had that feeling before. So right now, if you were to think about a time you went on a holiday or you went somewhere and you felt really happy, and you really recall that, if you can really picture it and hear what you heard, see what you saw, feel the feelings when you were there, you'll start to get those feelings back. It's like when you talk about a great time you had with friends, you start to feel happy. And often they feel happy too, because it's like emotions are contagious.
It's contagious.
Yeah, so by tapping into those remembered feelings, you can start to bring them back.
Okay, and that's really, I suppose that's really important, particularly when you are when you feel like there's maybe an element of staleness in your relationship, where you feel there is a flatness maybe where there aren't, because excitement is a sort of peak, isn't it? So where you kind of feel like we've got to climb this peak again and feel good together and full of energy, because excitement is also energy, isn't it?
It's a sort of energy. And I think also actually that brings on to another thing as well, is that, you know, you can't have that all the time anyway.
No.
And so some people have that expectation that there should always be that buzz, always that sort of excitement. Whereas, you know, sometimes it isn't always there. Sometimes it's lower than other times. Sometimes there are kind of quite flat times.
Yeah, and if we were excited all of the time, we'd be pretty exhausted after a while, wouldn't we? Because there's, because I mean, it sort of mobilizes, you know, there's a mobilization in your body. As I say, there's your blood pumping. If you had that all of the time, that probably wouldn't be very good for you. So save it also. Maybe there's something special also about these moments when you get very excited, right?
Yeah. So to you have that contrast between, you know, like night and day is, you know, you know day because you have night, you know night because you have day. We have that contrast that we have that range of different experiences of emotions. But at the same time, you can tap into that sense of excitement.
And another thing that I'm just thinking about, sort of excitement sometimes also can feel a little bit similar to anxiety, can't it? Because when you have anxiety, you have a lot of these kind of sensations in your body where your blood's rushing through your system, your heart is pumping, you might be slightly short of breath. Sometimes there's a similarity, isn't there? And it's difficult to distinguish. And I'm thinking about particularly, so for example, you have to give a presentation and you might get quite anxious about that. But maybe some of the feelings that you have are actually not feelings of anxiety, but feelings of excitement about something. Is that right?
Yeah, so I used to be a musician and, so a long time ago I used to get stage fright and you get these butterflies in your stomach and, you know, even, you know, arms would start shaking, which would make it difficult to kind of perform. But, you know, I think one thing that changed for me was seeing that excitement, seeing that sense of anxiety, not as anxiety or kind of nerves, but as excitement. And actually, rather than trying to fight it away, is just lean into it.
Yeah, I think it's relevant, particularly in the context of dating. Yeah, so if you're not in a relationship, if you are you're looking for a new partner, there is often this, the sensation, all these anxious sensations when you're first meeting someone, particularly if you're not always feeling super confident and sometimes struggle with your self-esteem, or even if you have a lot of self-esteem, you are stepping into the unknown, aren't you? You're meeting someone you don't know. You don't know how they're going to respond to you, whether they're going to like you, whether they find you interesting, etc. So that's, I think, where there's often this overlap between anxiety and excitement, that you might feel anxious, but you're also at the same time excited at the idea of the potential and meeting someone you really like.
Yeah, and I think that's the way that you see it, because I think in those initial stages, for me, it's not really so exciting. It's more nerve-wracking.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's when it's actually when you get to know someone, you like them, then I feel, you know, I feel excited about seeing them.
Okay.
So it's only when I have that sense, for me, it's more that sense of there is knowing that it's going to likely be a good time, rather than kind of like thinking, will they like me, won't they like me? For me, that doesn't produce what I call excitement.
Excitement. Oh, okay. Maybe there's a different, we have a different understanding of what that is. Because, well, yeah, it's interesting. I'm just sort of thinking, is it always, do I suppose I associate excitement also with, as a positive feeling rather than a so-called positive feeling rather than a negative feeling. But I think for me, my association is predominantly about something sort of new, or, and I think it's, there's something, and I've said this before, about the unknown that is exciting.
Yeah.
I quite like surprises and I like change.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And but I'm wondering as well, I mean, that's key when you're in a relationship with someone you've been in for a long time.
Right.
How does that translate into that? And I think,
yeah,
you know, a perfect example of how you can get excited every time you see somebody is by thinking about a dog. A puppy. Because it's like, you know, you have a dog for years and years, and like every time you get to the door, it's there panting, going, like waiting, kind of like, you know, there's that excitement. You know, it's that, you can see that excitement in your pet, like, and it's kind of, I think, how do you capture some of that? So I'm sure you don't want to be kind of like getting to the door and kind of panting like a dog.
No, but I know what you mean.
I kind of think, you know, sometimes picturing, you know, what is it like, just kind of that sense of, yes, I'm going to see this person I love. I'm going to see this person I care about.
Yeah.
I'm going to have dinner with this person. And whatever it happens to be, it doesn't matter if you've done it 1,000 times before. I think it's having that appreciation and gratitude that actually you can have this experience now with this person. And each experience is unique. And I think that's the thing, is being able to be present in that experience, to really experience it as fully as possible.
Yeah, so it ties into, yeah, previous podcasts we talked about being present, it ties into expectations, this sort of positive expectation, yeah, that something's going to come your way that you're really going to enjoy. And there's something about also, I think it plays a little bit into imagination and fantasy as well, doesn't it? This idea of you anticipate, you know, you anticipate seeing your partner, you anticipate what they look like, you you get you really sort of have these positive associations. You imagine what it's like to hug each other, for example, to kiss each other, to have a laugh together, all of these things. So to some extent, it's also about your imagination, isn't it? Making
yeah,
that work.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your imagination, you can create excitement.
Yeah.
However, I think also what you're saying, because what you're saying is, it's like always seeing that person or kind of having that sense of something nice happening. But I think you can get excited by actually thinking, how can I create something nice for my partner or for the person I'm going to see?
Right. Okay.
Because you're thinking, how can I make them feel good? And feeling excited about doing something for the other person. So excitement, I think if we just rely on excitement coming from someone else, that's a problem. Because it does come from within us. So if you want to be excited, how can you help excite the person you're with? Maybe you need to think about that.
Well, that's an interesting, very interesting thought, actually. So you'd have to have a sense of what is it that my partner might really enjoy, yeah?
Yeah.
And then picturing yourself giving that enjoyment or passing on that, or, you know, being, yeah, being the giver.
Yeah.
Yeah, of that enjoyment.
So it's like, you know, birthdays or kind of other celebrations, like you celebrate Christmas. I know not everyone does, but, you know, there's the excitement when you get a package or a parcel and you don't know what's in it.
Yes.
Or even if you do know what's in it, it's still exciting unwrapping it. It doesn't matter if you ask for this present and you know that that's it. It's the fact that you're still waiting for that. Like, you know, you're going home to your partner and you haven't seen them even for a day. It's that whole thing, like, you know exactly, you know, you know that person, you know what's likely, you know, that some of the things that are likely to be said, maybe even, but at the same time, it's like you can have that excitement about, you know, you haven't seen them for a period of time. But also with a present at Christmas or at a birthday, it's also giving the present.
Yes, giving. I was just about to say.
Because when you give that present, it's like, what does it feel like when the other person takes this and they're really happy? And it's that excitement about, what are they, how are they going to react? How are they going to kind of feel? What's it going to be like when they smile or kind of are really happy when they open it?
You can kind of picture that.
Yeah, and like in another podcast I talked about, I think I talked about this, where, you know, if you were to give a present and someone said, like, no, I don't want it, then you feel really sad as the giver. So giving and receiving are both important. We all need to give and receive. And I think to have that excitement, again, it's the same thing. We need to give and we need to be open to receive it.
That also ties into another earlier podcast that we did on love languages, doesn't it? In terms of where the idea is very much about knowing what your partner's love language is, you know, if it's predominantly about, for example, about touch, or is it predominantly about acts of service, doing something for your partner. So if you know that, and then you can kind of anticipate, so to speak, that's what I'm going to do today because I know that that's what my partner really likes, that makes him feel loved. So you can anticipate giving, giving whatever is required in order for your partner to feel loved. And that might be exciting.
And I'm wondering as well, like if you think right now about, you know, doing something for your partner or, doing something for your partner and the anticipation that they're going to feel really happy. What's that feeling like? I mean, is that excitement?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting because you maybe just even just buy flowers as a surprise and you think, you can think of their expression, you can think kind of, this is going to make them happy. And that fact that you're making somebody feel good, that itself is exciting.
And it's exciting because you're creating a reality, so to speak, aren't you? You're anticipating a situation, you're anticipating how a response from your partner. You're creating it in your head, as I say, through your imagination, but you can also then make that happen. You can turn that into a reality because that might well then how your partner is going to respond. So you've created it.
Yeah, and it's possible they don't respond like that.
Sure.
that's also a risk.
Sure.
And knowing as well that if they don't respond in that way, well, it doesn't mean they're not going to another time.
Yeah.
So it's about staying open to that possibility of creating excitement.
Yeah, and there's something about, I mean, excitement often is also associated with thrill, isn't it, for lots of people. So it's the idea of doing something that is thrilling. So whether it's bungee jumping or, I don't know, what else, parachuting. Ugh. I mean, all of these are not exactly exciting ideas for me, but, you know, the idea of something that's a little bit out of the ordinary, maybe. So excitement is often linked to this idea of doing something that you don't normally do. It's not routine, yeah? It's something that's taking you out of your normal routine. And that could be anything. I mean, it could be whatever it is that you consider to be quite removed from your usual routine.
Yeah, and so maybe that's also a different kind of excitement as well, that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of higher levels of excitement. So going on going on a roller coaster, something like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the problems is that sometimes people, and I think some of that is where you start to rely on an experience to let that rush flow through you, as opposed to be able to kind of have some control or some sort of influence in doing that yourself.
Right.
Because, you know, these sort of things where you're in a life-threatening situation, you're going to be forced in a way to have that rush of adrenaline. So it's almost like excitement is thrust onto you.
Right.
However, I think at sometimes that means that we stop thinking we can create that excitement in ourselves. And we, you know, there's so many things now available to get that adrenaline rush from jumping out of a plane, bungee jumping, doing kind of really kind of feats of endurance that are almost putting yourself at risk. Because it's like, I need to have this rush from doing something rather than creating it inside. And it may not be a bad thing, but I think the thing is, do you then feel you have to do those things to have excitement rather than even just going out into the garden and being excited by seeing like the colours of flowers, which you can, or birds. I mean, I get excited looking in the garden and, you know, seeing birds, which might sound really boring, but it's kind of to some people, but, you know, and get really excited by that. Yeah. And I think, you know, the other risk with looking for that bigger adrenaline rush that comes from the outside is that can maybe get linked to addictions, like with drugs or one night stands, where it becomes something that potentially is, it can be riskier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in terms of relying on that thing to try and give you that buzz, maybe takes away some of that, our ability to actually kind of, I can't think of a word, to be able to...
Cherish internal experiences, yeah?
Yeah,
you're talking about this sort of, and creating... Yeah, because you're sort of distinguishing there between something that comes from within you and something that's external, yeah?
Yeah, so being proactive rather than reactive.
Mm.
I think maybe it's just my thought, is relying on some experiences that are risky, because risk triggers that body's mechanism to get into that sort of excitement.
Mm.
That, to me, is more reactive. Whereas actually creating, being able to kind of create some of that excitement in even everyday experiences in a way maybe more proactive.
So it's also moving away from this idea of excitement as anxiety, yeah? Because a lot of this, again, with this sort of thrill-seeking stuff like bungee jumping or roller coaster rides or whatever, that's where there is this overlap, I think, very often between anxiety and excitement, isn't there? So maybe what you're describing is a sort of... A quieter response of appreciation, something like that.
Yeah, although I think that feeling can be just as strong, but it comes from within rather than relying on almost the body's survival mechanisms to kick it in.
Mm.
And I don't know, that's just my thoughts, just as we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
But I wonder now, even as you're listening, you know, what sort of questions could you ask yourself so you can find more excitement today?
Mm.
Like, you know, if you're going to see, if you're going out on a date or if you're seeing your partner, if you were to ask yourself questions, what could I feel excited about?
Mm.
Or how could I help excite my partner?
And how can I excite myself? Yeah.
And actually, even just wandering down the street and thinking, what can I feel curious about? What can I feel excited about in the things that are around me in nature?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. Yeah. Great. So I think we've come to the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so please press subscribe to this podcast. And if you want to find out more about improving your relationships, head over to therelationshipmaze.com. And we look forward to speaking with you next week.
Take good care. Until then, bye.
Bye.